from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Evan and Tiki on this fine Thursday in New York City. Yankees are off tonight, but the New York Mets open up a huge 4-game series against the Atlanta Braves. More on that in a few minutes, including a very, very unique batting order from Carlos Mendoza this evening, but it is a little after 5 o'clock.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new pretzel Baconator today. All right.
It's been around for a couple months, not new anymore.
Well, the read is the read.
When does New Leaf?
I mean, 6 months.
Was Juan Soto still a new Yankee?
Uh-uh.
Are we still a new show?
Nope.
Okay. Fair enough. Go ahead.
All right. We'll try the pretzel Baconator today.
Thank you.
All right. I'm obviously very distraught, down, angry as a Yankee fan today. So it got me thinking, where does this end? When does it end? And I'm going to give you what I believe are the 5 things we won't see until after the Yankees are eliminated this year.
Hmm.
So think about that for timing-wise.
Okay. So 5 things we won't see until the Yankees are eliminated.
Yep.
All okay. Right.
Follow along. Play the game. Here we go.
Number 5.
An Instagram picture of a coworker and their family apple picking. Think of the timing you do apple picking.
I have no idea what this means now.
October?
Mid-October.
What?
Oh, he's reaching with this one.
I don't understand the concept right now.
All right, keep going.
All right. Number 4.
Hello?
Number 4.
Tyrod Taylor starting a game for the Jets. We will see that after the Yankees are eliminated this year, which is good news for you. It means Rodgers has made it through September.
Okay, keep going.
Number 3.
Number 3.
Artemi Panarin score a regular season goal. The Rangers open up October 5th.
Number 2.
Hassan Reddick record a sack for the Jets.
Okay.
Number 1.
The Knicks win a game.
I don't understand the concept. What are you saying? Do you know what he means?
These are all things we should see by early to mid-October.
This has to be akin to thinking you're a stand-up comedian and just bombing. And not only do they not laugh, they don't understand what you're talking about.
An Instagram picture of a family apple picking. Tyrod Taylor starting a game for the Jets. Artemi Panarin scoring a goal. Hassan Reddick recording a sack for the Jets. And the Knicks winning a game. All of those things should happen by the middle of October easily.
But what does that mean? Like, what's the point that you're making?
The Yankees are dead. They're not having a long run this year.
Kiss my fat ass!
Oh, I still don't really get it, though.
You know what? Go take your pants off in front of your father-in-law. That's Cinco de Fivo today and every day.
Well, first of all, for someone
by the way, for the record, Twitter's going to tell me I killed. They're going to love that list.
Okay, yeah. We look at Twitter as the indicator of things.
It's X now.
Yeah. First of all, I don't appreciate you saying go take my pants off in front of my father-in-law. Someone just tuning in does not know what you mean by that.
Well, go check it out on the Odyssey Rewind app. Evan did, in fact, take his pants off in front of his father-in-law. He was just in the bathroom.
No, he walked in on me while I was going to the baño. That's all. The baño. Come on. It's in Spanish sometimes. Sean, I love you. I think you've done a great job around here. I've really enjoyed the year we've spent working together. That was the single worst Cinco de Fivo of all time.
That was almost fireable.
Wow. Loogie is the future of the station.
Should Loogie create an impromptu Cinco de Fivo? That just because it would be better.
He's not talented enough to do something.
Generational talent
on the fly.
You don't think he's talented enough
to do it on the fly?
To do it on the fly.
A Cinco de Fivo on anything he wants. Like Lugie, if I give you 10 seconds to just come up with your very own, could be about anything. Cinco de Fivo, can you do it? That would be better than that crap he just wasted us with.
Stop it. How about he just redoes yesterday, since you had a problem with it? The top five moments of the year.
That was yesterday. We have moved on from
that. Go ahead, Luke. All right, I'm going to give you the top five moments from the Mets sweeping the Yankees in this Subway Series.
I like it. Go ahead.
All right, do we want production with this?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Number five.
Number five is the two shows we did at the Cadillac Club at Citi Field. They were very gracious. We had awesome guests. It was a good bonding moment. We had good drinks after the show. Mm. Love it. The whole deal was very fun.
Thank you, Hendrix.
Yeah, that's great. I don't like where this list is going now, but sure.
Number four.
Number four was game two when we had that crazy rain delay. We got to see the awesome weather, and we saw Yankee fans leave, and we swept the two-game series. Sorry, Sean, there. That, to me, is number two.
That's number four, but go ahead.
Oh, well, that was the number two thing I said. All right, here we go. Number three.
Number three.
Don't be gimmicks here. Number three is Jake Diekman striking out Aaron Judge looking. By the way, Aaron, he's like all of us. He's a spectator of this series because he was looking on a strike three last night, too. So he's been watching the series like the rest of us.
I'm enjoying this list. I think it's really good. I just don't like where
it's going. But
I do like
the fact that it's coming off the dome.
Go ahead. I do.
Number two.
Number two, Francisco Lindor hitting his second home run and everybody jumping on the positive Tommy bandwagon. He is a MVP candidate. Learn to love it.
So let's just put me out of my misery. Give us number one.
You know what, Evan? I'm not going to dump on you. I would never point out the fact that, like a wimp at the Hard Rock, you said the Mets were going to get their ass whipped. I would never, ever call you a wuss. I would never do that. Number one is me, Evan, and all Met fans skipping and dancing around Yankee Stadium as they play Frank Sinatra, New York. Embarrassing.
He messed up.
He messed up big time.
He messed up. He doesn't even know how he messed up.
I'm just going on the fly here. I wanted to get to that topic.
Lugie, you know what? It's okay. You did a wonderful job.
Lugie is the future of the station.
Do you want to reveal to Lugie what he missed as what I thought, and I was fearful, would be the top moment from this year's Subway Series? Or are you in the dark on this,
I am in the dark on this.
You sons of bitches, because you're making me and Sean do it. Sean, do you know what should have been number one?
Not number one, but I know what he missed.
Well, yes.
What he missed is he thanked the Cadillac Club, and poor Christos is giving him a free salad for lunch. He didn't thank Hard Rock.
No, I did. I just mentioned Hard Rock. Thank you again, Hard Rock. I mentioned them in the number one.
All of you guys are complete utter morons.
Uh-huh.
What Lugie missed from the Subway Series, in fact, I hate myself. The most lasting thing from the Subway Series.
I have no idea.
You eating ice cream from a Yankee helmet.
Oh, my God.
Sweeping.
Was the night that the New York Knicks acquired Mikal Bridges
from
the Brooklyn Nets, you morons!
No, Evan's right, and that just shows you. People who are the future would have put that in.
I mean,
on the fly.
I thought you were setting the whole thing up to hammer me.
Setting the whole thing up? You gave me 5 seconds notice.
Right, and just because he's in, that tells you something about Lugie.
What does that tell us?
At his core, he's not trying to hate on you.
No. At his core, he knows Bridges isn't a superstar, otherwise he would have been on him.
No,
at his core, he's not hating on you.
I think at his core, he's already forgotten about the Knicks.
No, you know what this tells me?
What?
Lugie, I got your back.
Thank you.
I actually listen to you at night. On the weekends, when I'm driving, I had to drive my son home back to Connecticut. What did I listen to? Tommy Lugie.
Lugie!
Generational talent.
Fantastic. Lugie.
Yes.
You are an enormous, enormous fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number
1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
And so, impromptu, fandom took over. Hateration, Planation, all this other Asian stuff went out the window. He just became a fan.
I know, but
he genuinely told you his five best memories from the two summers.
And by the way, if you just included the baseball, I think it's a great list. Like, seriously, I think it was awesome.
That's what he did.
I just can't imagine that Mr. Knick fan who got one of his
Wasn't trolling you.
It was not trolling me. He got Mikal Bridges. He thinks they're going to win a championship based on the positivity of friendship.
He actually doesn't know that yet.
And now he doesn't even care about it?
He doesn't know that yet.
Even Loogie deep down knows he screwed up.
No, you didn't.
He's thinking to himself like, God.
I don't know if I screwed up. You gave me 5-second notice. You want a new Cinco de 5-0 where I make fun of you 5 straight times?
No.
People associate Loogie with the Knicks more than the Mets. He dropped the ball.
I think he dropped the ball on this one. Mm. And that's okay.
He was thinking about the Mets in the Subway Series.
Thank you, T. I'm basking in my Met glow right now in the glory, and I didn't mention
it. I am going to tell you something, and you guys tell me if I'm crazy. I'm going to predict the future right now. Obviously, this was an amazing Subway Series for the Mets. The Mets never sweep the Yankees, only the second time in the history of the Subway Series. The other time was a meaningless season in 2013. I believe that 10 years from now, 5 years from now, when we think back to this Subway Series, the most memorable moment will be the shocking Mikal Bridges trade to the New York Knicks.
Mm.
I think people will remember where they were. People will remember high-fiving Loogie, mocking
maybe.
Me.
It depends. Hold on. It depends on if you're a huge Knick fan. Because as you were saying, I can't believe you. It never registered until it came out of your mouth.
I'm stunned. Nah. Even Sean, too.
But
I'm really disappointed in all of you, actually.
It didn't register with Sean.
No, because here's the thing.
It didn't register with Loogie.
If you were in the building.
So how is everybody else going to remember it?
Only
none of us did.
The 45,000 people that were in Citi Field that night will always associate that moment with that.
Time out. You know why he remembers this and he'll never forget it?
The emergency Rigo?
No, because the Mets trolled his ass the next day.
Oh, that's right.
Trust me. I will remember it.
What about that, too?
Put it on the scoreboard?
I do remember that. I'm going to remember it because that was one of those sports moments, and there are some good ones, there are some bad ones, where you don't forget where you were. And for me, it was a bad moment. We'll see how it turns out. Obviously, history can change. Mikal can be a bust with the Knicks. The Nets could hit all those draft picks in the future. Like, I get that the jury's still out, but the utter shock of sitting in that seat and seeing and hearing that update is one of those sports moments I'll never forget. And
You won't.
I won't what?
But most Met Yankee fans, in 10 years, if you ask them, hey, 2024, remember that Subway Series sweep? They'll remember, hey, remember we kicked Gerrit Cole's ass twice more than the Bridges.
I think it depends, like Tiki said, if you're more of a baseball fan. Anyhow, yeah. I thought your impromptu list was actually good. You did a fine job.
My list was better. See you guys later.
Your list was terrible.
Yeah, your list was terrible, Sean. I'm just stunned. I thought it was set up for that to be number one, and I was clearly wrong. We'll get to the Met lineup in a few minutes. Let's get to some of your phone calls. We've talked about a lot of stuff throughout this show. You can rewind on the Odyssey app, including the New York Giants basically telling Daniel Jones, we're looking to replace you, and then not replacing him. And obviously a lot of talk around the Yankees and Mets as well. Let's go to Barry in Edgewater, New Jersey. What's up, Barry?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good, man. What's up?
Good. So I'm listening for weeks, and Tiki, maybe you can explain this to me.
Okay.
Daniel Jones, I happen to be a fan of Daniel Jones.
Okay.
And Daniel Jones, all I keep hearing in the last couple of weeks is, oh, you know, we got to get rid of him. He's subject to getting hurt. He's never there. Why was Daniel Jones hurt? Daniel Jones was hurt because the crap was beaten out of him.
Right. The O-line was bad.
Yeah, exactly. So my question is, if the line was good, would Daniel Jones be hurt?
No. I don't think I don't I don't well the first injury definitely not, which was the stinger neck injury, whatever it was, because he got completely blindsided by Andrew Van Ginkel against Miami. And he was untouched coming full speed from about 12, 15 yards away.
Mm-hmm.
It's unsurvivable. You get hit like that. The knee injury, I can't predict. I don't know what caused that. It's unfortunate. You see it, unfortunately, a lot. Guys have non-contact ACL tears. That just happens.
There's no way to
know
the answer to that.
I can't put that on the offensive line.
No, it's... I can't. It's
the neck injury, 100%.
Yeah, the way I look at it with injuries, and some of it's fair or not, I remember talking about this with Giancarlo years ago, because I used to say about him with the Marlins, this is before recent time,
yeah.
He's injury prone. And one of the defenses of him would be, but Evan, look at how he got hurt. They're all fluky. He got hit in the wrist. He got hit here. Like, those are fluky injuries.
Talking about Judge.
I'm talking about Giancarlo,
oh,
believe
Giancarlo
it or not,
Stan.
In his
got
early
it.
Years
it.
Before he got here. Because if you look at his time in Miami, mm-hmm. he had missed some time. And the way I look at injuries is that, yes, some may not be your fault. Some may be fluky. But when it happens a lot, we just have to take that leap of faith that, well, he's injury prone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes it's not all his fault, sure. But if a guy continuously gets hurt, that's a part of your resume, and it's something you've got to worry about.
Yeah.
Let's go to Eli on the Jersey Shore. What's up, Eli?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's happening?
What's up, man?
Awesome. First of all, Evan, you're a legend, so just want to get that out of the way.
I don't know about that, but thank you.
Anyways, I just want to jump in on this Giants conversation. I'm a straight-up IFO, not a Giants fan at all.
Okay.
And just two quick things about why I totally agree with you, why they're going to be way better this year, mm-hmm. or at least take step forward. First of all, they finally changed the way that they're designed their team. It's no longer around Saquon. They realized, sorry, it's 2024. They designed the team. It's around protecting the quarterback, getting to the quarterback, giving the quarterback weapons. They improved their offensive line. They improved their pass rush. They improved their receiving room,
mm-hmm.
obviously with Malik Nabers. And, like, that's the way to win now in the NFL. It's not a running game setting up to Saquon. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, this division, I think it's, like, completely overrated with the Cowboys and the Eagles. You see the Cowboys already, like, the whole thing with Micah, Dak, CeeDee, they're all fighting over the same money. And Mike McCarthy's contract's running out, whatever. And the Eagles also, they collapsed the end of last year. Like, there's no reason to think either of... You could easily draw up a scenario. You look at their schedules. They both start off 3-6, 4-7. They could easily start falling apart. The Giants, 9-8, I think, could, first of all, get a wild card spot. Second of all, win the division. There's no reason that this team, was a better team, I think, years ago,
right.
could just go 9-8, win the division.
Yeah,
Cowboys are 8-9, maybe get a wild card.
Eli, you're right. They are better than they were. Even on paper, they're better than they were a year ago. That's for certain. We know they're going to play hard because that's just how Dave's has been playing. And so the interesting thing will be his comments on the division and what's going to happen, because it feels like Dallas is headed towards some sort of, I don't know, dysfunction. I don't know what's going to occur. Maybe they somehow figure it out, but you got an unhappy CeeDee Lamb, you got an unhappy Dak, even though he'll say he's doing everything, you know, I'm a Cowboy, I'm going to play like I'm going to make $60 million a year, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But if they falter, that thing's getting blown up a little
well,
bit.
Well, I tell you, the team, I'll share your opinion on this and share his opinion on this. There's something really wrong with the Eagles. Mm-hmm. And while they added Saquon Barkley and Nick Sirianni says him and Jalen Hurts are BFFs,
yeah.
I can't get the stink out of my head about the way their season ended and how bad things got. Like, it got so bad for them down the stretch of the year that I wonder if they're going to recover from whatever
yeah.
brought their team to its knees when they're losing 6 out of their last 7, including getting absolutely destroyed in a playoff game by a Buccaneer team that wasn't any good.
Well, I mean, a year after going to the Super Bowl, there were questions about his job security.
Yeah.
That was odd.
And I'm almost surprised he actually survived it.
Yeah, the way that the rhetoric
there's
was down the stretch.
Off about the Eagles. And I can't tell you what happened in that locker room. I know mm-hmm. there's a lot of wild speculation. But just as an IFO, and I am in this case, just like our last caller, I look at the Eagles and there's something off. And I'm deeply concerned. Not concerned because they suck.
Yeah, you don't care. Right.
But concerned in that the way they collapse down the stretch is not just something that you brush away. It's not just, you know what? They closed the season badly. They'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I expect them to take a major step back.
Yeah.
I can't wait to write down my NFL predictions. I'm very excited. Because I give you a preview. I think I'm going to have the Eagles miss the playoffs.
Wow.
I think I have 7-10 in line for Philadelphia this year.
Wow.
Are you getting excited back there, Sean?
I am, and I'll take you one step further. No repeat NFC East champ since 2004.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. I think either the Giants or Washington win the division.
Well, Dallas won the division. Dallas won the division last year.
So they're out.
So
I agree with Tiki.
Eagles, Giants, or Washington?
Giants or Washington.
Look at that. How crazy would that be?
The Commanders.
James is in Flushing. What's up, James?
Hey, Evan. I heard you mention you want your season ticket representative to save you the paddles.
Yeah.
So for the next, you remember how we had to rush the entrance that time?
Yes.
Okay, so the Nets this week, they mailed me for my continuous support of the team.
By the way, this is James, who's a Brooklyn Nets season ticket holder, and we did rush to get that one time. Now, they sent you, what did they send you, the Brooklyn Nets?
So I get a package this week, unexpected, from Brooklyn Nets for my continuous support. A Mikal Bridges City Edition jersey.
The Nets still in the league?
I mean, they are just unbelievable. They're unbelievable. And they did it to me, too.
You got the same thing?
Yes. James, I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. The Brooklyn Nets, if you're listening, I know you have like 12 fans now. You lost a few. We love Jalen Wilson. We're very excited about him. We're excited that Nick Claxton's back for another year. And we all trust our God, Cam Thomas, okay?
Just signed Killian Hayes.
And did they sign Killian Hayes?
Just did.
Oh, they're really tanking, Tiki.
Within the last 5 minutes.
They signed the worst basketball player in the history. They signed Killian Hayes?
The Nets still in the league.
You know who Killian Hayes is?
I do not, but I'll take your word for it.
Do you know what his nickname is?
No.
Tank Master.
What?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
When you sign Killian Hayes, you're trying to tank. So anyhow, we're tanking. It is what it is.
But you knew that already, so who cares, right?
No, I mean, you're right.
You just don't want it in your face.
Yeah, and like when I go to games, because I'm still going to go to games, I want my team to win. Like, I'm not a full tanker. I'm not what I've made fun of. Like, Loogie's waiting to call me a hypocrite, because I used to make fun of Knicks fans for wanting to see their team lose. He's in for a rude awakening. That's not who I am. I root for my team to win.
Let's go Knicks.
I want Jalen Wilson to average 30-5. Anyhow, let me get to my point instead of boring you guys with players on the Nets no one's heard of. Can you not send us Mikal Bridges jerseys? Please! You have 9 people that want to watch the Tank Fest this year. Can you send us anything? Anything else besides a Mikal Bridges jersey?
The Knicks are going to kick ass tonight?
Like, why? Josiah, why? Sean Marks, why? Send us anything. Send us, like, I don't care, a wrestling figure. Send us, I don't know, $5. Like, literally, $5 bill. Send us a copy of My Mets Bible. Anything. Send me a toupee. Send me, like, a broken down wallet. Send me a broken cell phone. Send me an American flag. Send me anything but a Mikal Bridges jersey, you incompetent franchise.
Thank you.
Feel better now.
I hope so.
Okay. Take a deep breath. We'll come back. We'll take more of your phone calls. So in about an hour and 40 minutes, the New York Met fan, hopefully a lot of them, will pile into Citi Field tonight. The Mets and the Braves are opening up a 4-game series. You mentioned this earlier. I hope and expect that there'll be big crowds this weekend. The weather is nice. There's a bunch of giveaways. I know tonight is pickleball paddle night. Tomorrow night is firework night. Saturday is the best giveaway of the year. Mercury Mets Mike Piazza jersey day. And I don't think they're giving anything away Sunday. But more than giving stuff away, the Mets are beginning a huge series against an Atlanta team that has struggled so mightily that the Mets' recent hot streak and the Braves' recent struggles, which even led to a team meeting, has pulled the Mets within a game and a half of the Atlanta Braves for second place in the NL East and the number one wild card spot. Tonight, the Mets are facing Chris Sale. Chris Sale is having a brilliant season for Atlanta. I don't think the Mets faced him in their two previous series, the first one in Atlanta and then the series over at Citi Field where they lost 2 out of 3. So this is going to be their first meeting, if memory serves correct, against Chris Sale this year. And Carlos Mendoza has put together a very unique batting order. Number one, there is no Brandon Nimmo. Mm. Brandon Nimmo is out. I understand it because he's been slumping. Chris Sale is certainly tough. The negative is, because Harrison Bader is still hurt, the guy who's in the lineup instead is DJ Stewart. Do you want to guess DJ Stewart's numbers against lefties this year?
I do not, but I'm assuming it's sub 150.
Sub 150. What do you think his batting average is? You think it's lower than 100?
And it gets lefties?
Against lefties.
It can't be.
Can't be lower than 100?
No.
Okay, you're wrong.
What?
Do you think it's lower than 075?
I'm assuming yes, because you wouldn't have put that out there unless it was.
Correct. It's lower than 075. Do you think his batting average is lower than 050?
No, can't be.
Can't be. Oh, you're wrong. DJ Stewart is batting 0 against left-handed pitchers.
How many at-bats?
0 for 10. 0 for 10.
That's a small sample.
So I think what's unfortunate about this is I get Bader's hurt. That's why he's not in the lineup. But at that point, maybe I do play Brandon Nimmo just because of the fact I don't need DJ Stewart facing Chris Hale. But here's the complete lineup, and then I'll tell you the interesting wrinkle that could lead to something in the future. Lindor is leading off, but who bats second? Because Brandon Nimmo normally bats second.
Jose.
O-M-G. Jose Iglesias is batting second. J.D. Martinez third. Pete Alonso cleanup. Mark Vientos fifth. Jeff McNeil sixth and left. Francisco Alvarez behind the plate. Tyrone Taylor in center. And DJ Stewart batting ninth. So take the DJ part away because obviously Mendy wants to sit Brandon Nimmo and Bader is still banged up. The Iglesias batting two thing is sort of intriguing. I got to tell you.
Because especially because he's hit so well this season. Obviously, it's a challenge versus Sales sub 3 ERA and 13-something wins on the season, right? So, I mean, if he stays hot against Chris Sale, it's what you've been calling for the last month and a half or 2 months. He's got to be an everydayer. You got to keep throwing him out there.
Everyday player is one thing, and I certainly think that Mendy's gotten there, but him batting second is very old school. Jose Iglesias is the number two hitter of my childhood. He's the number two hitter of 10, 15 years ago. Nowadays, we live in a world in which your number two hitter is, in some cases, your best hitter. So Iglesias as a right-hand hitter, a guy that can swat that ball to the right side, move Lindor, has a little bit of speed, not a lot of pop, is a very 1997 second-place hitter. And I'm intrigued by it for this reason. When you look at the Met lineup, and all of a sudden, you have Iglesias batting second. And obviously, he has to keep this pace up, which is asking a lot. You could now flirt with the idea of breaking Alvarez and Vientos up with Brandon Nimmo. So all of a sudden, think about how lengthy this lineup is. You ready?
Right.
Lindor, Iglesias, JD, Pete 4, Vientos 5, Nimmo 6, Alvarez 7. What up?
Right, which is what they're doing tonight, but they're doing it with Jeff McNeil.
Right, and then Jeff McNeil 8. Keep going.
Yeah, and then whoever.
Harrison
Bader. Bader or Taylor.
Think about that lineup 1-8 with a hot Jeff McNeil, with a Brandon Nimmo now in more of an RBI spot, with Vientos and Alvarez split up, if you have Iglesias batting second.
Well, if he does well batting second.
If he does well, sure. And he's got to keep, look, he's hitting 380. I don't expect him to keep up 380. But I got to tell you, I'm intrigued by this. And what's so funny is that he's really only doing it because he's sitting Nimmo, and Mendy doesn't want to change the entire lineup.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't want to move JD to 2, Pete to 3. He wants to keep everybody in their slot. But I got to tell you, my first impression is I'm intrigued. This could be fun.
Only if it works.
Well, see if it works. Are we feeling confident tonight, Lugie? We keeping the confidence every night?
Oh, very confident. The power of positivity. And, Evan, I think the entire lineup is like old school. You have Pete in the four hole, obviously the most prolific power hitter in baseball. Lindor, the best speed guy in the leadoff spot. Iglesias, credit to Mendy, man. Great lineup. Speaking of Mendy, can I do something here, Evan, for you?
Of course.
See if you agree with me. It's an election year. I want to publicly endorse Carlos Mendoza for Manager of the Year. Think about
manager
it. First year as a manager, weathered an early storm, tough market, and I think this team, unlike another team in town, they reflect his heart and his toughness, and they're a fun team to watch. I don't think he's getting enough love or any love to be Manager of the Year. And I've been hot. As you know, I was the first one on Lindor being the MVP, and I want to be the first one on Carlos Mendoza, Manager of the Year.
I don't think that's crazy.
No, it's not.
Especially
if they make the playoffs and go in strong.
Yeah, and they continue to climb in the standings. Yeah. I would put him, if I was doing like a power ranking, I'd put him second right now. I put Pat Murphy number one. He's the manager of the Brewers. I think them leading that division, and Christian Yelich is out. And by the way, that sounds terrible.
He's got the back problem.
Sounds like he's going to have surgery.
Yeah, it sounds like Yelich, who's also been kind of a dark horse MVP candidate, could be out for the season.
No surgery.
Rest now, no surgery.
Yeah, but the way Yelich spoke the other day, he didn't sound confident he's coming back. We'll see. But my point is the Brewers were expected to be really bad considering what happened during the offseason. If they win the National League Central, and right now they are, I guess they're about 5 or 6 games up on St. Louis, I think he's the clear leader. Okay, so just put him aside. He's the guy. But after that, Rob Thompson, really, we're going to go that nuts about the Phillies? They're loaded. We giving it to Dave Roberts, my cousin? Stop. Who else are we giving it to?
And what sparked, besides my positivity, Lindor's hot streak, moving to the leadoff spot, which was a Carlos Mendoza decision.
Oh, yeah.
So he deserves a lot of credit
for that. Voters never go by that. You know what they always go by? They go by surprises. They go by, like, who overachieved. And
preseason expectation versus reality.
And
I think every sport feels that way.
It's the way it's become. And I think that the Mets are overachieving. and they have recovered from a brutal start. So I think he's got those two things that'll help him. I just think right now he's probably trailing the Brewers and Pat Murphy because of the fact that they've surprised everybody. But listen, I'm not against that.
There's always a bias, though, towards New York. We know that.
A bias against New York?
Yeah, from the voters.
Didn't Buck win 2 years ago?
No. Besides that, who was the guy that on the Yankees when Ohtani won Rookie of the Year? Andujar.
Yeah.
Right? So I feel like there always is a bias against the New York teams. They want to always go out for the mid-market teams, throw them a bone.
But Buck just won it 2 years ago.
Whatever. But in general, that was like a lifetime achievement for Buck.
By the way, you know what's kind of funny about Buck winning the Manager of the Year?
What?
Nobody gives a rat's ass. So it's so funny, and I'm not making fun of you
for
this. Well, I think that we care about awards until the awards occur. Like, in July, we have this passionate opinion of, is Lindor the MVP? Is Judge the MVP? I make a prediction. When we're sitting here in the middle of November, and they announce who the MVP is, very few people care.
Huh.
And we don't care about it.
Well,
it's a thing you care about as a hypothetical.
I think you'll care if the team is still playing.
Well, no, the season's over. It's after the season's over. Remember, that's when they announce it. It's in November. Season's over. That's why no one cares anymore.
I feel like we know before then.
No, it's not. I'm telling you, it's not till November. And that's a part of why I get why we talk about it now.
Yeah.
But it's one of those weird sports stories that, is this guy the MVP? And then when it's announced, like, we'll barely mention it.
Yeah.
Be like 30 seconds.
The NFL does the same thing, doesn't it?
They do the awards leading into the Super Bowl that week, the NFL honors.
Right. So if the season's not quite over, and
right.
It only matters if the MVP, like Pat Mahomes, is still playing.
So maybe do it on an off day in the World Series.
No, I tell you exactly when baseball should do it, and it would make people care. I tell you exactly when. The off day right before the playoffs. The season ends on a Sunday. I would have a big...
Yeah, because they're regular season awards anyways.
Exactly. Right. It's a regular season award, and on that Monday, and don't tell me it takes too long to count, all right? These old schlubs should just put their vote in, move on. We know about elections the night of, or at least in theory we should.
Ernst & Young will audit it. It'll be fine.
And then on Monday night, you have a very special MLB award show. You could even do the Rob Manfred idea with the team with the best record picks their opponent. Remember that whole idea? You could do that. Philly select the Mets and we're off and running. And in that show, you announce all the awards. It would get a decent rating and then people would care because I'm telling you, in November, watch, write it down.
Yeah.
In November, even on Lugie's Lugauer, he won't even bring up, you know, Lindor got screwed in the MVP. We'll be talking about Daniel Jones being a Hall of Famer.
I was going to say I'll be doing my Tommy DeVito shtick, but yeah, whatever quarterback's playing at the time.
But you do care about it at some point if they win.
So I would say that...
Like I feel Cole won the Cy Young, and it's...
Barely talked about it.
It was like a Football Friday, I think it came out, too. It was very like, whatever.
Nobody cared.
Yeah, but you end up talking about it the next year. You know what I mean?
That's like a passing comment.
Yeah, but just how good of a season he had.
I'm trying to remember the Judge Altuve one was so controversial, and this is before we found out about the cheating scandal, but it was football season. And I think, like, yeah, it was, can you believe Altuve won? And it was like 30 seconds because everyone was more concerned football.
2 years ago, it was Ohtani versus Judge. Judge hitting the 62, and everybody thought Ohtani was going to beat him. And it took until March until I remember Judge actually did win.
You forgot about it.
You do, yeah.
But it was a huge talking point throughout the season.
But that's exactly what I'm saying.
No, what
I'm saying is we care about it now, and then as soon as it's announced, like, we forgot all about it.
Because we get engulfed in football. We pretend we're not going to be, and we're totally engulfed
in
that.
But that's my entire point.
No, I don't think anybody's arguing with
you. Okay. You're just regurgitating what I'm saying. I appreciate
that. We're defending your point.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay.
It also goes back to baseball not being able to market themselves like the NFL. They make everything important, and baseball, unfortunately, does a bad job of that.
No,
they don't make things important.
That's why I said they should do it the Monday after the season ends. They can make people care. Let's go to Frank in Bloomfield, New Jersey. What's up, Frank?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How you guys doing today?
All good.
Excellent. What's up?
All right. I want to ask you guys a question real quick before I talk about the Yankees, and I want to just hit the Knicks real quick with that as well. How well do you guys trust each other if y'all go on a road trip?
How well do I trust Tiki? I would trust Tiki with anything. I think he's the most trustworthy person I've ever met.
I would drive the whole way.
No, first of all, that's not true. Now we're not partners anymore. What do you mean you drive the whole way?
I'm just kidding. I love driving.
Oh, we got a problem.
All right. So I only asked
Frank, you just started an issue between me and Tiki. Like, what do you mean you're driving? I'm driving.
Hypothetical road trip.
I went from trusting you to being, like, pissed off now. I'm just kidding. What's up? What's your next question?
Play a game of Russian roulette with X-Lax. And make sure you mend Men, bring your depends for men. All right. Now to the Yankees. So I have a theory I wanna run by you. You might think I'm nuts for saying this, but I think Severino wasn't in the game yesterday or the day before when we got shellacked by the Schmets. All right? And I think he gave the team some eyeballing of cheats of telling them what pitches are throwing. I could be wrong.
But I
feel that's a little bit of a theory on that.
Wait, so yeah. Who, let me get this straight.
So
who
Sevy prepped them? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, correct. He prepped them before the game to let them know what pitches they were going to have in their, when they go out and play.
If that's, by the way, if
by
that's
way, I don't
true.
Even, I don't even mind that.
Well, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
If that's true, the Yankees are an incompetent mess. Like, if Luis Severino is able to steal the signs from a year ago of the New York Yankees, then they shouldn't even be a major league team.
But I don't even think it's stealing signs. I mean, it's funny because we talk about, like, stealing signs from guys on second base. We had this in the Rays series. Isn't it a pitch com? Right? What are you stealing?
Oh, yeah, that's true. You can't even do that anymore.
Right, so what are we even talking about?
That's a great point.
I think
some pitchers don't use PitchCom.
Right, maybe some of them don't. But I think the only thing Sevy could do is prepare them based on the tendencies of the guys he knows.
Yeah.
Oh, I know Garrett Cole. We spent hours upon hours talking about strategy and yada, yada, yada. This is a detailed game plan of what he likes to do against batters like you.
Right.
Like, that's all he could do. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's actually smart. You should do those things.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I think the PitchCom thing has eliminated the sign stealing, though. Yeah. You did bring up an interesting point. I don't think we ever talked about this, that Pete Fairbanks of the Rays, who I'd love for the Mets to get their hands on. I mean, my God, or the Yankees. I mean, if the Rays are going to trade him, why not? But Pete Fairbanks made the point that he intentionally balked Juan Soto to third base.
Yes.
Because Soto would supply the signs for who was at the plate.
Yes.
And he said it very cavalierly, but not even annoying. Just, hey, I don't want my signs being given away. I'm just going to balk him over to third base. Which, okay. But then you bring up the point, most of these pitchers are using PitchCom. Right. I guess Pete doesn't use PitchCom?
Maybe he doesn't. Or it's just disconcerting to him that he's got to look behind him to look at the base runner.
Or its location. It's where the catcher is setting up. Things like that.
Probably.
So it may not even be the specific sign.
It
may just be location.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
That's likely more it.
Yeah. That was an interesting one, though, when he said that recently.
Soto's, like, just pointing to his left.
Right.
Pointing to his right.
But
give him a little head nod one way or the other.
But I've rarely heard a pitcher admit, I balked on purpose to move a guy off.
It's actually the first time I've ever heard that.
Yes.
It's actually genius if that's what he's doing.
Hey.
I mean, because, look, if his game is location, then Aaron Judge knowing where the catcher's setting up, which he can't obviously see unless he turns his head, that's a big deal.
Yeah, no, I get you.
I get it.
Could Juan Soto defer the balk and say, no, I'm staying. Yeah. I'm good to go. I'm just kidding. Somebody tried to do that in my baseball league. He got drilled by a pitch, and we're like,
I want to hit.
He said, no, I want to hit. And I was like, that doesn't work that way. Like, I understand you want to hit. I respect that, but the rule is you got hit by a pitch, you got to go to first base. Yeah. And it was a whole argument.
And did he go to take his base?
I was the damn commissioner.
And he took his base.
Of course he took his base.
Just making sure.
Like, he was
making sure you didn't cave.
No, he was big and threatening, but I was like, dude.
I can't do a show with a wuss.
Wow.
Have you seen over here?
I can't do a show with a guy that's insisting he has to drive everywhere, though. We got a problem. We can do a show, we just can't go anywhere.
Right.
That's our only problem.
No bus trip.
Did you want to add something, or can I keep going on with calls? Because you seemed like you were very, you needed to say something.
Yes. You wanted to interject?
No, I actually didn't.
Okay. No, I just wanted to make sure. I wanted to give you your time.
He started to talk, but he got shouted down.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Because he was starting to talk, right?
Okay. He was.
I was trying to say something to Lou Gehrig, but okay.
Well, then go say something.
With your mic on.
I prefer Tiki Drives.
Same.
You prefer Tiki Drives?
I'm glad you had the same mindset. If one of the two of you driving a big bus to New Orleans, Evan, take the passenger.
Here's what we're going to do, okay? Because I want to be fair about this.
Flip a coin?
I want to be very fair about this. I think over the next few months, at some point, you should drive Loogie and Sean somewhere, and I will drive Loogie and Sean somewhere. And after that occurs, they can give a fair assessment on who they want to drive with.
Perfect.
You may be the greatest driver ever. I don't want to put you down, but I damn well know how good I am at driving.
Mm. Now, I've already been in the car with Evan, and my argument is I want to get to New Orleans before I turn 50. I mean, pigeons were passing us when you were driving. I mean, bro.
You know why I did
that? An old lady honked at us. Can you drive? Put it a little bit on the pedal here.
You know why
friend.
I did that? I did that on purpose, actually. I'm a very fast driver.
Yes.
When I am with people that are anxious, and Lugie's a very anxious person.
Very.
I actually change my style of driving to try to calm them down.
Oh.
But when I'm by myself, I am a demon.
Yeah.
So I am.
Too. I lived in New York for years.
You know what it is? I'm an amphibian. I adapt to my environment. Mm. And I love you, Lugie, but you are a very, Sean will back me up on this, he's a very, very, very nervous, anxious person.
I'm high strung.
Mm. Like, yeah. Is he easy to drive?
Yes, because he's grateful, but, you know, he's more high strung. I agree.
In fact, can I give you an example of how high strung Lugie is? I can say something that will ruin his weekend because I'm not here tomorrow, so I'm not going to see him.
Go ahead.
And all I'll say is, you believe what the architect said about Lugie the other night? I still can't believe it.
And Lugie is the future of the station.
You just ruined it because he's also not here tomorrow. Neither is Tiki tomorrow.
And so now what's going to happen is, before the show ends, Lugie will say, what did the architect say? You were just kidding, right? He didn't say anything. And I'll be like, no, he said something, but that's private.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Nothing
don't
for you to worry about.
He's already thinking about it.
And it will just destroy him now for the next 4 days. But I stand by it. I really can't believe the architect said that about him.
And then when I see Evan on Monday and I go, can you just tell me? He'll go, what? And then we'll never know.
Yeah.
I'm sure he said good things.
Can I leave?
All I'll say is this. You should really appreciate a friend like me because I stood up for you. But anyhow, go ahead, Sean.
The final tiebreaker would be the bus is going to have gas, right? Because we can't stop the charge it every time.
If you're on it, we'll have plenty of gas.
No, he's saying because I drive electric cars.
I know, but he was just trying to make a joke about, know the way these kids
but nobody
work.
Got it.
These kids.
Yeah, Lugie needs to get in his Sean Forch a lot because he's fat joke. You're like, dude, what are you? They're like children.
Right. You're going to want to stop. And charge.
Okay.
Is that your way of saying we will be driving an electric bus or an electric RV?
Yes.
I got no problem with that. Saves us a lot of money on gas.
No doubt.
Let's go to Lorenzo in Queen. What's up, Lorenzo?
Yeah, what up, people? Yeah, you guys are way better than SNL. You got a great show today. I just want to let you know. But yeah, a couple of props for Evan and Sean. Number one, Evan, that's a great idea with Aaron Judge leading off. I think Boone and Cashman should break off part of their, part of the pace, but just for that simple idea, just reminding them that that's possible to do, you know?
Yeah, and look, the thing
is, they've done it before.
Right, Boone did it before. Now, I'm really trying to remember, because you brought up a very good point that now I'm batting my brain to think of. Did he do it because of the chase for 62? Like, how about this? I got to look this up. Did he do it in the playoffs? That's the ultimate answer.
I don't think so.
2022 Yankees divisional series.
I feel like we talked about this. Me and BT talked about this because it maximized his number of at bats.
Yeah, he led off in the playoffs. Okay, good. So it wasn't just a thing for the record. Like he was leading off in the playoffs.
But maybe they left it in the playoffs because he hit 600 or whatever.
Oh, wait, I take it back. In game five, he batted second. In game one, he was leading off again, the Cleveland series. He led off in game two. And so the first two games, he led off. Game three, he got moved to the two spot.
I don't remember what Aaron Boone said, why he moved them.
Yeah, I don't remember this. Do you remember, Sean, the movement between one and two?
I didn't remember that we had to start Jameson Taillon in game two of a playoff series. It was like 2 years ago.
Right.
That is true.
And it was only 2 years ago. Isn't that crazy?
But 2022 is a very similar season to a lot of Yankee fans in that they got off to this great start, and then they started crumbling. Now, their crumble began a lot later.
Mm-hmm.
It began in August. It was after the trade deadline.
Yeah, so they couldn't do anything about it.
So Aaron Judge led off basically from September 10th on. Led off the first two games of the divisional series against Cleveland, and then starting in game three, the series went five, he started batting second. In the American League Championship Series where they got swept, he was batting second. Yeah, so they moved him to the two-hole after two games of the postseason.
Mm.
But still, the fact that he led off the first two games shows you it wasn't a thing around the record. It was just, hey, we're leading him off.
And Oswaldo Cabrera was good enough to bat sixth in a playoff game, but, now he has to bat behind LeMahieu.
Why did they move him from one to two? Does anybody remember? I have to go back and
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure it was asked.
I'm sure we all talked about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's the Yankees against the Guardians in the postseason. I'm sure it was a big deal at the time.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob
games. Dare to compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.